You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show. Charles Schwartzel wins the first tournament of the new European Tour season, the Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek.
It feels good. The way I played the last few years, you know, being down in quite a slump. Didn't really see myself coming out and winning, but, you know, we put in so much hard work and I guess it's no better fit than for it to turn around. Yeah, you know, this place has treated me really well and got my first win. Yeah, and now my 10th.
We'll speak to Charles later in the programme about his comeback victory on home soil. Schwartzel won by four shots from France's Gregory Bourdie, who put pressure on the South African with four early birdies.
It was maybe close after my great beginning of this round. I think maybe I had a chance, but after my triple bogey, I stayed patient and I played great at the end, and so finished second. It's always a good result.
So a full review of the Alfred Dunhill Championship to come, plus we'll look ahead to two European Tour events this week, the Australian PGA Championship and the lucrative Nedbank Golf Challenge. And I'm pleased to say that John Hawksworth is alongside me. John, I've not seen you for a bit.
Oh, well, I'm still breathing.
You've been busy.
I have been a touch on the busy side, yes. Really? How are you, Robert?
Yeah,
nice to see you.
Not bad, my son, not bad. And not a bad event to kick off the new season.
No, especially for Charles Schwartzel, who now has claimed his title four times. And to be honest, a man that's been in the doldrums, you would have to say, for quite a while. Although he does own this tournament now and probably would like to play everyone round it. It was quite a comfortable victory in the end, but not one of the most convincing for me, I'd have to be honest.
For two rounds, he was brilliant.
Yeah, he was. First two rounds, brilliant. 70s on Saturday and Sunday, but he didn't drive the ball very well and didn't look overly confident, but it's about getting across the line. And, I mean, he is a very experienced player who's won the Masters before. And maybe this is going to be the start of something big again, because he's still only a young man at 31.
He's got a great golf swing.
Oh,
he hits some amazing golf shots. He really can.
He does hit some amazing golf shots, but he just, for me, if he's going to contend in bigger tournaments, he needs to start driving the ball better. He didn't drive it very well around Leopard Creek. What a golf course that is. They've got some scenery on there.
They have got some wildlife around there, just stitched up against it from the Kruger National Park. But Gregory Bourdie in the final round was starting to apply some pressure early doors.
He was. I think he birdied 3, 4, 5 and 6, which is always going to put pressure on the leader. Some good French performances, actually. But obviously, Bourdie finished top Frenchman just ahead of Hubert, who is also a bright prospect. But, of course, Bourdie's won many times. But, yeah, great final round. Round of the day, though, came from Jakob van Sale early on, shot 64 to move from nowhere, kind of into contention in the clubhouse. But Bourdie looked very good. I mean, he's not one of the longest out there. Is it a golf course you need to be monstrously long? Probably not. Straight is the better thing, but he looked very good on Sunday.
Benjamin Hubert, like you mentioned, is one of a group of a lot of young French players now that are coming out on tour, and Sebastian Groh, another one. You know, they've got targets in front of them in terms of players like Dubuisson and others that have done it in front of them. So they've got something to aim at, all these young guys.
And Thomas Linhard. Yeah, there's plenty of them about. Now, I go back 25 years ago to when the Federation started putting money into these teams, like the Germans did.
Jerry Wattin.
And the French,
Michel,
the Italians.
Tapia.
Yeah, so all those sort of lot. And now they really are sort of reaping the fruits of the infrastructure that they put into the Gulf. And, you know, the continental Europeans now are tremendous players, and they just keep coming and coming and coming, and here comes some more.
I think the French are buoyed by the fact the Ryder Cup's going to be in France in 2018.
Yeah. On Paris
don't
National.
Oh,
absolutely. Paris National. I don't think there's a finer venue for the Ryder Cup in Europe.
Oh, I've always said that once. The first time I saw that place, I thought, well, this is the Ryder Cup venue to dream of, and which it will be, because the grandstanding around the last four holes there is just amazing. Incredible golf course, and it will be an amazing Ryder Cup. Well, I am delighted to say that the King of Leopard Creek, four-time winner, Charles Schwartzel, is alongside us right now on the Race to Dubai show. Charles, how are you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, I'm feeling very good this morning. I've been obviously in a bit of a slump for the last couple of years, and you know, anyone that's played the game will realise how much damage that does to your confidence. And, you know, it's been quite a process. I worked hard and fixed up a lot of things, and it's nice for it to all come together and get a win. And for me, my first win came at Leopard Creek, so it feels like it's no better place for this win, you know, to get me out of the slump.
When did it all sort of come flowing back to you? You know, I mean, it was quite a comfortable victory in the end. Did you feel secure at all on the back nine, or were you just trying to hop over the line again and get those feelings back?
You know, I was saying that Thursday, Friday, I shot 11 under, and the way I played, that was probably the worst best score I could have shot. It was pretty flawless, and on the weekend I shot 4 under, and I think that's probably the best I could have done. You know, I was really scraping it around and just hanging in there and relying on the short games. My long game wasn't particularly good, so I didn't feel very comfortable, to answer your question, even on the back nine, until I got the birdie on 14. Then I thought, you know, if I can manage my way in and make some pars, I'd probably be good enough.
Well, you certainly worked it out and managed your game. I think that's what was impressive, Charles, over the weekend. You had your A game on Thursday and Friday, and then you had to manage what was, I don't know, your D or E game, whatever it was at the weekend, to make sure that you got off the line. You managed to do that. You must be proud of yourself for that.
I'm very proud of the fact that I was able to find a way to make a score on the weekend, because obviously I had a bit of a lead, but you know, I didn't play very well. So it shows how important chipping and putting is. And you know, I think it showed up for me. I was chipped well, hold out some good putts, some momentum, and you know, I think I can take a lot out of winning a tournament like that as well.
Your body language, Char, when you're on the golf course, sometimes you have the look of somebody who's got the weight of the world on their shoulders. Is that something you're aware of, or is that just the way you look, but inside you're quite light and fluffy?
when you've got so many demons going on in your head, you'll also have a body language like that.
So is that something going forward you're trying to work on and address?
It was hard. You know, I found this win one of the hardest ones. Although, you know, I've had lots of success around this course, I still found it very difficult because I had a lot of, you know, I had a lot of things going on that I was mentally trying to fight. So it just felt like it was a lot harder work than what I've had to do previously. You know, so I'm not sure what I look like out there, but I sure was digging very deep.
I mean, it's a beautiful place to play golf, obviously, with the wildlife. What was the most frightening thing you saw on the golf course through the week?
Probably my T-shirt flying left on the 13th on Saturday.
Oh, dear, Charles. It is an amazing place, and it's wonderful that you've made that your own. 4 wins around there is absolutely amazing. Now, what do you do after this win that you didn't do after the last 2 wins and push on and crank your game up so you're heading up the right way in the world rankings? What do you do?
I feel like I'm a better player. You know, I think going through slumps, when you do come out, you feel like you're better. You know, I feel like, although I didn't show up on the weekend, but my overall game, my long game, is actually better than what it's been before. And working with this lady, Cheryl, with the putting, and she's working, helping me with my aiming and stuff. And all those things, I think, will make me better in the long run. So whether this win kicks me on now immediately, I don't know. But I think going forward, I think I probably might come out better than I have been before.
Well, it's nice to hear you so excited about it again and looking forward to, obviously, what could be a fantastic season. And maybe with the way you're playing another major.
For sure, you know, that's what I'm working on. I said, obviously to win majors, I'm going to have my game like I had on Thursday, Friday, all the way through. You're going to have to put 4 of those rounds together to win majors. And that's basically what I'm working towards, to see if I can get more comfortable, you know, throughout the whole tournament. And that'll come with growing confidence in whatever changes I've made. So I am looking forward to all of the stuff falling into place and maybe trying to win another one.
And now, Charles, you go to the Ned Bank on another great golf course, Gary Player Country Club.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it is a very good golf course. It's a golf course, though, that I've actually had trouble on before. I finished second there 1 year, but it's a golf course that suits a guy that hits the draw. I'm a fader of the ball. So it's one of the courses that I find doesn't sit as well as Leopard Creek on my eye. One thing I do have right now is a better golf swing and a bit more control over the golf ball. So I am looking forward to it. Netbank's always been one of the best tournaments to play in the year.
And at the age of 31, you've become the youngest South African to reach 10 European Tour victories, beating Ernie Els. That must feel pretty good.
That does actually feel good. I didn't know about it. They told me yesterday. Yeah, that's quite satisfying. But I think Ernie's already on 28 European wins, so I've got to start kicking on now.
Well, listen, you have got the game, Charles. There's no doubt about it, to get somewhere near that mark that Ernie Els has set. Thank you very much for joining us on the Race to Dubai show. A fantastic victory, and let's hope it's a springboard to many more this season.
Yes, thank you very much. I hope so too. Nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, very nice of Charles to come onto the show after a win, because sometimes players are moving here and there. Turns out he's going to Sun City for the Nedbank, so that's okay. We're always going to catch him in South Africa. But did awfully well, John, to get it done.
Yeah, and hopefully that will sort of changed things for him. Golf's all about thinking positively, and I don't think he has done particularly in recent times, but a win's a win, and you've got to draw the positives out of it.
Now, stats-wise, it's his 10th European Tour victory, with wins 8 and 9 coming at this tournament as well. In fact, 6 of his last 7 European Tour victories have come in South Africa, and 7 of his 10 European Tour titles overall. His only European Tour win outside his homeland since 2010, having said that, it was rather a big one, was the 2011 Masters at Augusta, where he birdied the last 4 holes to pip Jason Day and Adam Scott. And he becomes only the 3rd player to win 4 or more official European Tour events on the same course. The other two, Tiger Woods, 8-time winner at Firestone Country Club in the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, and Miguel Angel Jimenez, a 4-time winner at Hong Kong Golf Club in the UBS Hong Kong Open. He becomes only the 3rd South African to win 10 or more European Tour titles, following Ernie and Retief. He's back up to 35 in the official World Golf Rankings, which is the big carrot for him. From 50th, that means he's good for the majors and the WGCs. He can really plan his year ahead. OK, let's hear now from others who contended at the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Francis Gregory Bourdie finished 2nd on 11 under par after 4 early birdies pushed him right into contention on Sunday at Leopard Creek.
It was a nice week. I love this place, a wonderful place. One of my favourite tournaments, one of my favourite courses. I love the design, and I really wanted to play, even if I played a lot the last few weeks. I wanted to come here because I really like this place. It was maybe close after my great beginning of this round. I think maybe I had a chance, but after my triple bogey, I stayed patient and I played great at the end, and so finished 2nd. It's always a good result, for sure.
Allez les bleus! Another Frenchman, Benjamin Hébert, was 3rd on 10 under par, the best finish of his European Tour career to date.
I'm a bit disappointed because today was not a very good day for me. I didn't play very well. My putting doesn't work very well for the week, so 3rd is all right. But, you know, I was well placed on the 18 and I have the dirty ball. So the wedge shot was not very easy with this, and I had bogey, so will be better to finish tight 2nd with Greg, but you know, there is 3 Frenchmen on top 4, maybe 5 on the top 10. So it's a brilliant week for the French golf, I think. And I'm very happy for the challenge to graduate from France, because there are 2 on the top 10, so that's great. It's a good start for the season. Now holiday time, so we're going to enjoy it for sure.
Allez les bleus encore une fois! Let's hear from another Frenchman, 4th place Sébastien Groh.
First tournament as a European Tour player in the top 5. That's very positive. Was not the day I expected. Played pretty badly all day, to be very honest. And was just that the putter kept me into it, but my game was just not into it. Those 2 doubles came too early.
And I take it the evidence suggests you're a quick learner as well, because the rise has been terrific so far through Challenge Tour to come here.
Quick learner. Yeah, maybe those things are happening a bit too fastly. Like being in the last group with a Masters champion, it makes things pretty strange. You know, I'm playing with my friends 2 weeks ago now. I'm playing with him on the last group on the European Tour. So that makes maybe a bit too much. I had some problems to deal with that. You learn from everything, even if it's a bad moment or a good moment. You always have something to learn in life. And that was a good learning today.
Sébastien Groh, nice attitude there, nicely worked out.
Very popular man. Difficult
start to his final round as well, a couple of early double bogeys.
Yeah, 3 and 4, and then a couple of birdies in the next sort of 4 holes or so, got out in 37. So he showed a lot of character. I mean, he has played a co-sanction with the Challenge Tour in Madeira, but this is his first full event with a card, which he got. Finished 2nd on the Challenge Tour Order of Merit. I was out in Oman a couple of weeks ago and watched him. He looks the full salad to me.
Yeah, hits it a long way.
He does, and he's only slight.
He's the young build now, whippersnappers, wiry and strong and not carrying any weight at all. Mm. Yeah, well done, Sébastien Groh. Well done to Benjamin Hébert, and well done to Gregory Bourdie, and of course to Charles Schwartzel, his 4th win around that amazing golf course. OK, top 10, please, John, from the Alfred Dunhill.
Right, well, there were 3 tied 8. I'll go from 10th backwards. Jacob van Zyl after a great final round with Eddie Pepperell and Brandon Grace. Then 5th tied, Joost Luiten, Thomas Linard, another talented Frenchman, and Matt Ford, who seems to play well in South Africa. Then 4th on his own, Sébastien Groh, another Frenchman, Benjamin Hébert, 3rd on his own. 2nd was another Frenchman, Gregory Bourdie. And finally, Charles Schwartzel, the winner of this event for the 4th time, and hopefully his career back on track.
And because it is the first event of the new season, Charles Schwartzel is leading the Race to Dubai, and the other players from 2nd to 10th are those places in the top 10 in the Race to Dubai. So it'll all change as we get to the Nedbank, no doubt about that. Now, the Fantasy Race to Dubai tips. Jamie Spence went for Charles Schwartzel. If Jamie was sitting where you are, John, I'd, you know, give him Big licks. Well done, Jamie, but he's not here, so...
And there wouldn't be enough room on the seat.
Very good. And I went for Lucas Bjerregaard, who I thought might exercise the demons of his last round last year, because he's played really well the last couple of months. Didn't work out. The Dane missed the cut, but more to come from him through the season. Look out for news on the 2016 Fantasy Race to Dubai game at europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Now, in other news, Australians Matt Jones, Rob Pampling and Nick Cullen all qualified for the 145th Open at Royal Troon with their performances at the Emirates Australian Open, the first event of the Open qualifying series. Jones qualified in style with victory in Sydney, finishing one shot ahead of Adam Scott and Jordan Spieth, who are both already exempt for the major. Pampling was fourth after a final round of 61 around the Australian Golf Club. Outrageous, with a 90-foot eagle putt at the last as well. Cullen tied fifth, but edged out fellow Aussie Lincoln Tyer, who was the round one leader, for the third spot, thanks to his higher position in the official world golf ranking. European captain Darren Clarke has revealed the 10 qualifiers to take on Asia in the second edition of the Eurasia Cup presented by DRB HICOM. They are Willett, De Buisson, Fischer, Wood, Sullivan, Fitzpatrick, Lowry, Wiesberger, Kjeldsen and Broberg. Clarke will add two captain's picks to that list before facing Jeev Milka Singh's team in Kuala Lumpur in January. Quite a young team, Johnny, we've got.
Yes, but that's good, isn't it? Because they say it's quite a good grounding, perhaps, for Ryder Cup. I enjoyed the first Eurasia Cup.
It's good for the players. It's also good for the European captain, whoever it is at the time. So for Darren, it's going to be good Ryder Cup practice.
Yeah, I mean, he's plenty of experience. But of course, you know, amassing another team and getting the juices flowing of that match play, head-to-head battle. It was a great tournament last time, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Trust me, Jeev Milka Singh and his boys will be desperate to win that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's a great competitor, Jeev Milka Singh.
Yeah, he is.
Bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on. OK, before we get to the world rankings, Ryder Cup listings as they stand, John?
Well, yes. I mean, at the moment, obviously, it's very early. You've got the world points list and then the European points list and then three wild picks. So coming off the European points list at the moment is Rory McIlroy, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Andy Sullivan and Christopher Broberg. Then you go on to the world points list. It's Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose, Victor de Buisson, Torbjørn Olesen and Lucas Bjerregaard, which you fancy quite a big season on. But of course, that's going to change dramatically. And then, of course, there's the three wild picks.
Let's just see how that shapes up. That's a long way away. That's just the early Ryder Cup rankings. It's going to be quite volatile, I would think, between now and the tape.
And we are available.
I would think more in a vice-captaincy role.
I'm more on
rather
car
than
park.
Playing.
No, you're, car park. Yeah, car park.
You just like a nice luminous tabard and you're happy.
Oh, high vis jacket. I can put cars anywhere.
That's beautiful. World rankings, please, John. Top 10.
World rankings are led by, at the moment, no surprise there, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, number 2, Rory McIlroy, 3, Bubba Watson, 4, Justin Rose, 5, Ricky Fowler, 6, Henrik Stenson, 7, Dustin Johnson, 8, Jim Furyk, 9, and Adam Scott in 10th place. A good, you would have to say, European representation of just about 33%-ish.
Almost. Can't have 33% of 10, can you?
No, you can't.
That's right. Thank you. Now, there are two events on the Race to Dubai this week. We'll start with the Nedbank Golf Challenge in Sun City, South Africa, which was won 12 months ago by Danny Willett, a victory that set him up to challenge Rory McIlroy in the end for top spot on the European Tour. So it's a huge event, John, that comes very early.
And massive money.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Willett wasn't outside the top two all season. Of course, won that back at the end of last year. But it's a great field. As you would imagine, it's attracted some quality golfers. You know, Westwood's down there, Webb Simpson, Keegan Bradley's making the trip, Russell Knox, a recent winner. Of course, Charles Schwartzel, who's just won. Shane Lowry's down there, Victor de Buisson, Kiradek Afibanrat, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Chris Wood, Stephen Bowditch. So there's some very good players down there, and it's going to be fiercely contested. But I do feel I've got the winner.
Well, before you get there, let's hear from Jaco van Zyl, who's deliriously happy to be making his debut in the event.
They call it Africa's Major, so, you know, it's always been a very prestigious field. You know, it's really going to be fun, and it's... I love the golf course. It's a great atmosphere and it's not too far from home. Great venue. It's great weather. So it's going to be really good fun.
It's a great thing for Jaco van Zyl to have progressed with his game to be playing in this short field big event, John.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge money and to get into that sort of tournament. After that, it's WGCs and majors on a regular basis. It is massive, especially if you are a South African. And whoever wins that will have worked really hard.
Now, the weird thing is, if you like this golf course, you get two cracks at it because it's the start of this season and it's the end of this season in the final series. So we're actually going to play this event twice.
Yeah, quite amazing.
And what about the golf course, John? I think it's a brilliant golf course, the Gary Player Country Club.
17, 18, great finishing holes. 9's a good par 5. You've got to be long round there.
Yeah,
there aren't any short hitters. But, I mean, Willett won it last year. He's not short. And it's had some great champions over the years. So, yeah, I should be sat in 1A if you need me this week.
Are you going to give me a tip then from some of the players that you mentioned that are playing in this event? Who is the John Hawksworth can't-miss tip?
I'm going for Byung-hun An this week.
Yeah, and he's, well, BMW PGA yeah. champion. Brilliant player.
Young, early 20s. I think he's a great player. He flies the ball high. But are you going to give me a tip?
Yes, I'm going to give you a tip. I'm going to go for Brandon Grace against Joran.
Right, okay. Well, all the best.
He played okay. He played a really good third round, 66, I think, last week in South Africa, Brandon Grace. Didn't quite play the way he wanted over the week, but again, he's going to a golf course. He hits the ball with that flat, boring flight a long, long way.
I think it's more of a high hitter's course.
That's just one of the events that's on this week. The other event is all the way down onto the Gold Coast. Queensland, the Australian PGA Championship.
Yes, the luxury of having two events on at the same time. You know, it's perhaps not the strongest field compared to the Nedbank, but what a place to go and play golf. And I used to love going to Australia. Fortunately, we used to fly because long way to drive.
Long way to sail as well, by the way.
It is. Yeah. There are many have done it. Yeah, slightly shorter field, but I think I've got the winner here as well.
Tell me your thought process.
I watched a bit of him out in Oman at the Challenge Tour Grand Final. This guy has a very good game indeed. He's a big, strong lad, and his name's Ryan Fox, and I think you should keep an eye out for him in the future. He has won in Australia before, so that would be my tip. Probably one that you weren't expecting yourself.
I wasn't expecting that. I'm going to go for Nick Cullen, who played very well last week at the Australian Open at the Australian Golf Club, a difficult golf course, and he got one of those three prize spots that gets him into the Open Championship next summer at Troon. So he must be full of confidence. He's won a couple of times in Australia. Nick Cullen versus your Ryan Fox.
Well, all the best again.
It all bodes very well for an excellent week. It surely does. Well, that's it for now. Next week, we will review the Nedbank Golf Challenge and the Australian PGA Championship from the Gold Coast. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from John Hawksworth,
enjoy all the golf.
And myself, Robert Lee. See you next week.